platform. Step up and speak out.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to the platform. I am your host, Brian Marvin K. Sitole. Special thanks to Kaya Moyo, who held it down with Gender Agenda. A reminder for me of the days that I did the Y Zone, these youth issues are very interesting and very, very engaging as well. If you are tuned in from Victoria Falls on 6.5, Mashingo 96.1, Mutora Shanga 97.6, Nyanga 90.2, Gweru 104.3, and my hometown, Mutare 95.4. Would love to hear from you. So do send through a WhatsApp message on our platform 0772-168-045. 0772-168-045. There is a famous proverb that I would want to localize and bring close to home and talk about Zimbabwe. We can actually say, when Harare sneezes, the whole of the nation catches a cold. Harare being the capital city of the country and also our main commercial and political hub, plays a very integral role when it comes to how everything else functions across the nation. And as such, tonight, for the next 30 minutes, we're going to be talking about the state of service delivery in the capital, in the Sunshine City, as we call it, in Harare. And to have that conversation, I am joined by Mr. Ruben Akili, who represents the residents, as well as Mr. Ruben Akili, who is the director for the Combined Harare Residents Association, or CRA in short. I also have on the line representing the residents as well, Mr. Marvelous Kumalo, who is the director for Chitungwiza Residents Trust, or Chitrest. I'm sure we're all aware that Chitungwiza is one of the dormitory towns that we has that we have, that also serves a key purpose in terms of ensuring that people who work within Harare, our workforce, also has a place to stay. I'm also joined by a political analyst, Mr. Rejoice Ngwenya, who is coming in to also give us a political perspective when it comes to the issue. Gentlemen, good evening and welcome to ZFM Stereo.
Good evening, Brian. Good evening, Harare. Good evening, Zimbabwe.
Good evening, Zimbabwe.
Great. I'm glad that all three of you could have the conversation. But I think a special message to our producer, Seviso Mabranga, Gender. It's a boys club that we are having tonight, but it's important that we continue the conversation regardless. So let's talk about I'm sure we all understand that at some point, when you look at the plan that was there for Harare, it was meant for a few. We have seen a rapid urbanization happening, as well as a convergence of people from all the nine provinces to the capital city. Let me start with you, Mr. Akili. How has this affected service delivery? Munuwesa akumanyira ku Harare. Zvakanganisa papi in terms of our service delivery?
Thank you so much. So I think for those who go down with history, they'll understand that Harare was meant for around 400,000 people, and now it houses more than 1.3 to 1.4 million people, so or a resident. And then to that end, you realize that it then put pressure on the services that are provided by the local authorities. I think all of us, we understand the concept of rural, you know, to urban migration. And so you see that in terms of water supply, for example, Morton Jeffrey Waterworks was meant for just, you know, the population which I've mentioned. But right now, we have also Chitungwiza. I think Mr. Kumalo will speak to that. Chitungwiza with Harare. So again, you look at the population of the whole metropolis, we are going even probably around 1.6 million, 1.8 million, you know, and then for the local authorities then to be able then to provide services to that, I would say, which population becomes very, very challenging. And also, even when you look at the waste management services, you realize that, you know, there is much, I would say, production of waste. I think Harare also has got a population that passes through Harare. I think all of us, we know that Harare people are going to Bulawayo, people are going to different areas, so they generate waste. So also they are also beneficiaries of the services of the local authorities. But again, I think what is very, very important is over the years, we as a city, there hasn't been, I would say, deliberate efforts to then invest in the infrastructure to then accommodate for the growing population. That's where the biggest problem is. I think our attempts were made, especially when look at housing, the introduction of housing cooperatives at that period where the government and even the local authorities were failing to provide adequate housing. So then the issue of introduction of housing cooperatives had to come. But unfortunately, again, the same system was now being manipulated by El Barros, and we see that we continue to be in the same path we were in the past. So right. I would say that pressure has been put on the services due to urban where people also come to Harare. And then at the end of the day, we have got inadequate services. But as I say, also, the purpose for planners is then to plan ahead. Because them many years ago, it was on the cards. Only maybe probably now there are some movement to that effect to ensure that it provides water for others.
Right. Thank you for that, Mr. Akili. Let me also rope in Mr. Marvelous Kumalo, the director for Chitrest, for Chitungiza Residence Trust, into the conversation. And Mr. Kumalo, as I ask you this, it's important that I also mention kuti ndaitombo wa mukare ku Chitungiza, ndakatombogara ku UNTJ, and I know the struggle, especially in terms of water. And Tango's 1 year the dam, Tine dam Rukuvaqua, and Trukuan Amvredo from Harare. That was the excuse that we always got. I'll pose the same question to you. Kukura kwaita guta. Chitungiza wasn't this big when it was on paper and when it started, but we're seeing it growing. How has this also affected basic service delivery, such as the issues of water that I've raised, as well as the issues of sewer reticulation?
Thank you so much, Sage. Just a small point of correction. I am the director of Chitungiza and the Manyame Rural Residents Association.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. So, indeed, like you mentioned, we have witnessed rapid population growth in Chitungiza, which is not commensurate with the forward planning that our both local authority and the central government we had projected for. So this is a negative implication in that, in terms of service delivery, the local authority finds itself in a strained position where, like you rightfully mentioned, that Chitungiza is not a water authority. Which means it entirely depends on the city of Harare for water provision. But look at it now, the catch is, according to the previous population census results, Chitungiza has a population of 425,000 people. And the 425,000 people have no control in terms of where they obtain water for domestic and industrial use. Having to rely on the city of Harare, I think my colleague Akili mentioned that when Morton Jeffrey Waterworks was designed in the 1950s, it was designed for a capacity of a maximum of 300,000 people, and the population of city of Harare has grown to over 1 million, and that of Chitungiza has grown past the 300,000 that was designed for Morton Jeffrey Waterworks. So we are in a very dire situation in that our daily water demand as of now stands at between 70 to 80 megaliters. But Sito Ferrari only manages to give us between 10 and 15 megaliters on a good day. If they experience some electricity fault, or if they fail to get enough raw water, or if they fail to get enough water purification chemicals, it means they will produce less and even give less to Chitungwiza. So in terms of the pressure, when in terms of the pressure, when they pump less than 10 megaliters, it cannot then be pushed to all the residential suburbs, meaning that some other suburbs will go for days or even weeks without accessing water.
Right.
Then in terms of sewer reticulation as well, is a correlation between sewer reticulation and water availability. Because for sewer to be treated and pushed or pumped to the sewer treatment plant, there is need for adequate water to do that. So when there is no water, it means the solid waste within the piping infrastructure will dry. And when it dries up in the absence of water, when we get water suddenly, then we experience recurrent sewer bursts. And we are also forced to dispatch untreated raw sewer into Nyatsime River and Manyame River, which then pollutes the biggest water source that we have in the metropolitan province, which is Lake Chiwero.
All right. Now, let me just, sorry to cut you off there. I want to bring Mr. Ngwenya into the conversation, because there's one thing that I always hear. I've had an opportunity to host the Harare Mayor, Advocate Jacob Mafume, on several occasions. And some of those, Mr. Akili was also a guest. And one of the issues that comes up, Mr. Ngwenya, is that of politics, of politicking, because one of the dynamics that we cannot ignore is that our local authorities, both Harare and Chitungwiza, are currently being managed by opposition CCC-led councils. They command the majority. And yet central government is domiciled within the ruling ZANU-PF party. And so whenever you're talking to Advocate Mafume, for instance, you always hear issues of late disbursements of funds and, you know, and things not happening because central government is not coming to the party when it comes to ensuring that issues to do with the city are taken care of. So, Mr. Ngwenya, my question to you is, to what extent does politicking or issues to do with politics affect service delivery both in Harare and Chitungwiza?
Well, thanks so much, Faith. You did well to say that Harare is a microcosm of Zimbabwe. And Zimbabwe is virtually divided into specific sectors, political, economy, and of course social. And it's important to understand that, you know, we have migrated through an era where, you know, the metropolitan areas like Harare, Joburg, you know, Dar es Salaam, Kenya, are supposed to be in the hands of business. In other words, it is the business sector that contributes the highest income, GDP, to a development of a city. We are talking, when Akil and Kumal are talking, they are talking infrastructure, water infrastructure. We also have other infrastructure things like electricity and, of course, you know, fuel and petrol. So this is why it is important to understand that our model of governance, Faith, is still a bit too primitive, because it allows politics to take a lead in leading highly expensive entities like Harare. So the mentality of politicking, it should not matter whether, you know, a government is run by Democrats or Republicans or ZANU-PF or ANC or EFF, in terms of city management, Faith, it should not matter. Why? Because a city is managed by professionals. This is why you find that these professionals in big cities are given delivery contracts so that they can be able, they have a capacity of dislocating the politics of running a city, which is governance, and the economics of running a city. So we have got this whole naive narrative around politicians who are semi-literate, Faith, when it comes to matters of financial and business. You know, if Harare is worth about $1 trillion, right? So why put it in the hands of somebody who was selling, you know, airtime cards in the corner of Samora Machel and Chinoy Street? Just because of populism. He is popular and he becomes a councillor, and probably you probably end up being a mayor. So when you are professional, when you are trained to run a professional organization like a city, you are able to maneuver around political naivety and subjective scenarios. So this is the kind of incompetence that we now have in these cities, that they are busy making excuses about the politics. And meanwhile, also in government, in ZANU-PF, you find some politicians who keep saying, if you don't vote for us, then we're not going to be dispensing money to Harare for Kunzi Dam. This is naive faith. So let's reduce our strategic trajectory towards running cities as a business, so that at least we are able to understand that cities contribute a lot to our well being. For the time being, perhaps that is my legal sense, Faith.
All right, thank you so much. And let me just clarify that it's your show, The Platform. I'm your host, Brian Marvin K. Sitole. And the reason why I'm sure for our listeners, they're wondering why the name Faith keeps coming up is because Faith is our technical lady, and she's the one who actually called the guests. And I do understand the confusion that could have created, but I'm actually Brian, and I'm hosting the show. And so let me throw the ball back at Mr. Ruben Akili and ask, one of the challenges that is bedeviling the country is that of power supply and power generation. In the past, we had a situation where local authorities or municipalities also had their own power plants, which contributed to the national grid. Do you feel that it's necessary for us to get back to that point where City of Harare, for instance, is also generating its own power and contributing to the both to the Harare Metropolitan Province as well as to the national grid?
Thank you so much, Brian. I think this is the most important conversation. So if you see how even these cities were designed, to go to Ulawa, again, their own thermal power station, Harare, their own. Even if you read the Urban Council Act, it has provision that these local authorities provide, you know, water, provide electricity, and also even to some extent, even public transportation. So, you know, local authorities can well perform in a devolved system of governance. Our greatest challenge is then to centralize things. So the moment when, I think that was around 1985 or still young, 1984, the introduction of ZESA, or probably coming in of ZESA, where the equipment, power plants for the local authority were then taken by ZESA and even the function. But again, we would actually see that, nothing much has changed. Interesting things have even gotten away. So at some point in time, as a proponent of devolution of power, we strongly believe that, these services can be well managed and done by local authorities. Go to Jobek, they squad, they call Jobek Electricity again. They also Jobek Electricity work together with ESCO. And I think that will be the greatest good arrangement, which we saw the government through Zera introducing that other people who want them to play a role in electricity production must be able to come forth. I think that's a good development there. But also, again, you realize that even local authorities should be given that leeway to then be able to provide that. So, but currently, it's not like that. Everything is done, is centralized. That's a good way to put it. So when you centralize things, you have then overtaken
central government with more responsibility. Even if you understand when decentralization was done during the time of President Robert Mugabe, around 1984, 1985, when they introduced the decentralization, the whole purpose was then trying to then remove the burden from the central government. And this function would then be able to be provided by the local authorities. And again, these things have to be done professionally. And in 2013, the constitution was then mooted through the General Government of National Unity, where even again, a devolution of power in terms of Chapter 14 of the constitution was then also even reintroduced. So again, in the same spirit, I would propose even that if we would have loved to devolve power by this stage, since 2018, I would tell you that we could have been running our city in a well-structured manner, also again in a well-accountable manner, but again also even to some extent we could see some level of efficiency. The issue around the power generation, as you said, the Zera and other and ZDC, when they called for other players, I think one challenge that Sinai or the greatest challenge we have is we have not been forward thinking. I think Mr. Mkumalo said something like that. Because even the infrastructure we are using, we haven't been, you know, updating, you know, the infrastructure. So at the end of the day, you realize that we have got, what I said before, infrastructure deficit in terms of power generation, infrastructure deficit in terms of water provision, infrastructure deficit in terms of roads. So we are way behind. But when these functions are then evolved and decentralized, you actually see some level of efficiency. And to some extent, you know, people also contributing the development of their communities. Even especially when you look at the clean energy, I was also with people from Japan. Last year, about 5 years ago, they started doing car parks made of solar. So the local authority in Japan was no longer even a car park, you think it's a roof, it was solar. So again, you know, solarizing and be able to produce the power for their own, especially water and other things, they had already started that. But again, here in Zimbabwe, maybe that's where Mr. Gwenya is talking about the politics. I think those are some of the challenges which we really need to deal with. And also, centralization of procurement. That is another, you know, pain, you know, which I think our local authorities are going through. You cannot centralize, you know, procurement in such a manner, because it becomes an inhibiting factor in terms of how the local authorities then be able then to deliver their money. So you realize some of the things are not done because they have to go through the procurement board and whatever. There is that need to centralize that, but in as much as the procurement regulatory authority playing that standard setting role, rather than them to decide, you know, and then it's more of like centralized, it doesn't work.
All right, Mr. Akili, sorry, I have to cut you short because we are running out of time. We only have about 9 minutes left for us to have this conversation. So let me pose the same question to Mr. Marvelous Kumalo. Do you feel that looking at the Manyami Rural District Council as well as the Chitungwiza Town Council, that we can be able to safely say that we can also contribute to the grid? We can have our own power generating projects that can also contribute to power generation within Chitungwiza?
Thank you so much. I think when the government introduced the devolution of power and the government responsibilities, the issue there, or the thinking in terms of what informed that, was making sure that central government was failing to deliver all the sectorial related service delivery issues. So the thinking was to giving those functions and roles to the periphery. So really, I think, as was clearly stated by my colleague Akili, that we used to have Harare United providing public transport and things used to function very well. So even in terms of electricity generation, we used to have Harare Thermal power station. We used to have Lawayo thermal power station.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to service those localities. So really, we do have that capacity where government should only be there to put national policy pronunciations, then also capacity built, enhance the capacity of those in local authorities so that they can be able to deliver in these things. And also financing, supporting through funding and entering into private partnerships so that these local authorities can boost their capacity. And really, we feel that this is the way to go. Then whatever remains, if Kitunguiza generates its own electricity, then what remains, what is surplus, what is not needed by its residents, is then sold to the national grid so that there is equitable distribution to other areas that might be failing or might not be having their own capacity to generate electricity at a local level. So I strongly feel that that should be the way to go. This will increase transparency, accountability, and bring service providers closer to their small or minute forms of government at a local level.
Right. So, unfortunately, we don't have a lot of time to have this conversation. Just taking our issues, we started a little bit late, but I just want to get your parting shot in terms of our service delivery and how we can make it work. And let me start by giving the opportunity to Mr. Ngwenya, my political analyst, and just ask how can we ensure that, from your perspective as a political analyst, that politics doesn't get so much in the way of service delivery. I know these are issues that you talked about in your earlier intervention, but just to tie up our conversation, how do we also create cohesion between both the local authorities and the central government, and also ensure that the devolution drive that the country has also comes to fruition and we are able to see everybody coming to the party and playing ball to ensure that the resident of Harare, the resident of Chitungwiza, the resident of Epworth or Rua or wherever they may be, gets the best benefit from what will be happening, Mr. Ngwenya.
Well, in summary, I would say that Brian, the biggest challenge that we have is that we elect the wrong people. In other words, once you start off with the wrong player, you end up losing the game. So it is important that as Zimbabweans, we begin to understand that when somebody is submitting their name as a councillor, for a post as a councillor, we must be electing people based on their professional competence and capacity rather than populist political rhetoric. If we jump across that river, we are onto a good thing.
Mm, very profound and powerful that it's not just about political parties, right? It's about what the individual is offering. And it's important that as voters, we also do due diligence to see who we want to vote for when it comes to political office. Let me pose an almost similar question to Mr. Marvelous Kumalo from Chitungwiza. What can we do? What can be done? What can the listener of ZFM Stereo who is tuned in right now do to ensure that we see an improvement in terms of service delivery kuchitungwiza, kumanyami? Everyone is getting a stand and they're building. How do we improve service delivery in those areas?
Yeah, sure. In brief, the first thing is that everyone has to play a part. Remember, this is not only the role of council. Councils are there to deliver these services, but we also have obligations as the citizens to contribute in terms of paying our rents, our bills and levies to councils so that we increase their financial capacity in terms of delivering all these services that we are talking of. Then rightfully, as was said by Mr. Rejoice Ngwenya, that we need to separate politics from governance. These are two different things. We need to depoliticize service delivery. I have liked what is obtaining in Rwanda, where councillors are not elected along partisan lines, but they elect councillors from the pool of people who have achieved something within the community, be it business, sport, education, and so forth. So that brings a pool of expertise which is not politically inclined and which is not there to politicize service delivery, because when there is no water, it affects across the political divide.
Mm.
It doesn't matter whether you are party X, Y, or Z, you are affected. So the moment we put incompetent, we elect incompetent representatives into office, we will suffer as a nation, and we will suffer irrespective of our political inclinations. So really, it's an important issue which we need to look at going forward.
And
lastly, we also need to make sure that in terms of qualifications, there are some form of qualifications. Remember, these people are potential mayors, and for like for the city of Harare, a councillor can run a budget through a committee, chairing a committee, which is very huge. And really, we can't be playing games with such huge budgets being given to people who are not qualified. So really, I'm not so sure whether we need to do some form of academic or educational qualification. But I've seen adverts where even housemaids are required to have passed 5-0 levels with the capacity to drive or to do extra activities such as homework for the employer's children.
Right.
So really, we can't just get everyone, because one is popular. Yes. But while ignoring one's capacity to deliver.
Very interesting.
My parting remarks.
Very interesting. You know, we've seen, like you're mentioning, example, Yema maids and gardeners. Somebody telling, I need a driver's license because you have to drive my kids to school. So there's a basic appreciation of certain concepts. 5-0 levels, yes, zirukutragwa. So why not do that for councillors? I don't know if that will not play into democracy, if that will not play into people's choice. Because but anyway, I think that's a conversation for another day. Let me bring in Mr. Akili, your parting shot.
Thank you so much. Let me just throw a case in this discussion. I think when you look at our council, even now we have got our mayor, who is a lawyer. Even educated people in government and even our council.
Oh, do we?
Right. The local authority, city of Harare, approved the budget, I think, the last week on Friday, which is proposing that a person selling vegetables will pay $10 per month. And then the person running a nightclub, they've reduced the fund from $1,300 to $20. So meaning a vegetable vendor will be paying more, 10 times 12, 120. The nightclub owner will pay $20 only. So you can actually see, I think one thing which we have been lacking is a culture of transparency and accountability. And whether the people are A or B, but I will tell you that one of the fears is being transparent and accountable.
Mm.
We have people who are stated, who are not accountable, who do not respect citizen participation in local government processes, who do not respect that what they have, their public funds, and they need to be used with prudence and also you know, in accountable manner, and even they need to be men and women of integrity. So those are some of the challenges that I conclude to say. We really need, in as much as the issue around qualification is very, very important. But again, what is very, very important is that people are elected into office. They respect the will of the people. They respect people when they put their input in budget, in budget processes. They also be accountable and being transparent. And look at the city of Harare, for example. Last audited in 2021, their books are last updated in 2021. But don't we have, lawyers in the city of Harare? So it's very, very important that a culture of being transparent and accountable. And also, you need to go further for local government reform to ensure that we then promote laws that promote citizen participation, transparency, and access to information among the residents. And then at the end of the day, we can then be able to have, and transparent and accountable service provision. Those are some of my acting thoughts. But also, as residents, if we receive services from local authorities, we really need to pay.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me for this episode of The Platform. Unfortunately, we couldn't spend as much time as we would have wanted to have the conversation. And as such, I'm hoping that the three of you are amenable to a part two, to another opportunity where we can talk about this. Right, Mr. Ngwenya, you'll be available for another show, right?
Thank you. Definitely, I will be.
Mr. Khumalo would want to talk more about Shitungiza Munodzoke. Let's go share the foot.
In any people when calls, we avail ourselves.
Great, Mr. Akili. You're always here. Are you willing to come back for a part two?
Yeah, sure. I think the issue around budget is very exciting. I like seems as if the issue of the budget was made in the night stuff. So I think there is a need to talk about this. It's an important document to deliver.
So we'll definitely have another conversation around the same topic. For now, it's me, your host, Brian Marvin Kestole, giving a special thanks to our listeners for being a part of this conversation. A big shout out to Faith Maroa, engineer. I'm sure you heard the name coming up a lot in the conversation, as well as my producer, Sifiso Mapuranga, also ensured that we're able to have this show. For now, it's me, your host, Brian Marvin Kestole, saying good night, stay safe, take care of yourselves, and of each other. I'm out.